Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to have this another opportunity, Lord, to come before you and to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, knowing that it is your truth that is allowed us, Father, to see through the wiles of the enemy, to see his plan, his purpose, his strategy, and to know, Father, just to lay in your presence to ripen. So be with us, Father, and just watch over us, I pray. May your anointing be upon, Lord, the speaker and, Lord, the hearers, that all of us, Lord, might have a spiritual union with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight will be Satan's Eden number 50, and we're going to look at the topic on Satan is a preacher. Brother Branham continues in Satan's Eden with these words, "Oh, you say, but wait a minute, we preach the word." Well, look back here at my text tonight. Satan was the one who preached the word to Eve first. God has said, see, it's that misconstruing that part of the scripture that applies to the day. We'll let you know all about, he'll let you know all about what Jesus did was perfectly well. He'll let you know all that Moses did was perfectly well. But when you take the promise that he gave for this day, then that was applied to another age. That's just all he has to do, see, is to get the people to believe it that way, and that's all. For you cannot take one word away from it or add one word to it, but that's what he does. I do have, okay. Last Sunday, we saw how Satan was that great red dragon in Revelation 12 that drew a third of the stars, which are suns, and actually I spelt it wrong. It's S-O-N-S, suns, from heaven, and cast them to the earth by the tale that he told. That is what Brother Brown told us that the tale in Revelation 12 was. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail, T-A-I-L, drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. Now remember, tail is a symbol, and also stars is a symbol. And a vindicated prophet told us what those two symbols represented. In question and answers from Hebrews part 3, he said, "And he took his tail and pulled a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth." Did you notice that? Now, that doesn't mean that Satan has a long tail that he hooked around the people, but the tail that he told, and he pulled a third part of those stars. Those stars were Abraham's seed. Abraham said, "Oh God," God told Abraham, "Look up to the heavens and number the stars if you can." And he said, "I can't do it." He said, "Neither can you be able to number your seed, the stars." And we also showed you in Isaiah 9 and 15 where the prophet Isaiah also told us what that symbol represented. He said, "The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." So the tail that he told, and only in the English language do you have an ability to have words that mean the, or that say that sound the same, but they mean completely different altogether. So Brother Bram said the tale is the lies, that the tale that was told by the false prophet. You know, when we say a person telling a tall tale, we use that word all the time. Now, that's just a tall tale. We're meaning the person's lying, right? All right, so Satan is a preacher, and the Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 11. "Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And as Brother Bell would always point out, not just a virgin, but a chaste virgin. She's been chastised by the word. See, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve," there's your word beguiled, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's the English, it's exapateo, and it means to seduce wholly. So he says, I fear lest by any means as a serpent, meaning in the same manner as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And as I mentioned, the Greek word there is exapateo, which means to seduce wholly. So when Paul says the serpent beguiled Eve, he is telling us the serpent seduced Eve. "And many ministers and denominational brethren who refuse to believe serpent seed do not believe what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. And therefore, not preaching what he preached, they will be cursed." Now, either we believe that they will be cursed or we don't. Because the Apostle Paul said, if any man preaches any other gospel than what I preach, let him be cursed. Now, many people think, well, you know, they just have a difference of opinion. No. It's one word off is what? Satan's kingdom, right? All right, Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, the sons of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, above all the witnesses. Remember, here's another symbol. Clouds are witnesses. We're going to get into that a little bit later. I will be like the Most High. Now, how can you be like the Most High if you're a creation? If you're a created being? The only way you can be like something is if you have the DNA of that something in you. In other words, you have to be sons. He's claiming to be a son when he's not a son here. I will be like the Most High. All right? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, at the end of this message, I'll show you how Satan's breastplate was the same as Aaron's, except for one row of stones he did not have. In fact, actually, we'll put that off till next Sunday. I'm going to go into the two breastplates. Okay, you have Aaron's breastplate, which was formed or designed after what Moses saw by vision in the heavens. He had four rows of three stones in each row, and I'm going to show you that Satan had three rows of three stones. So Satan was missing one full row, and it's actually the same stones are missing. The same stones that are missing from is just one row. It's the third row that's missing in Satan's breastplate. But Satan had a breastplate because he was a high priest in the worship. He led in the worship. His brother said, him and Michael led in the worship in the beginning. He said Michael was Christ. Then the Apostle Paul gives us warning not to preach another Jesus. He says, For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and that word another is allos, which means a different Jesus altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, and that word is heteros, which means of a different nature. So if you receive a spirit of a different nature, which you have not received, or another gospel, and that again is the word heteros, which means a gospel of a different nature, which you have not accepted, why do you so willingly put up with him? Yet I consider myself in no way inferior to these so-called super apostles. So Paul was a little sarcastic, and I don't blame him. Because, you know, when you've been around the horn a few times and you recognize these people, John commanded, you know, he went in. Polycarp was a disciple of John, and then Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. Well, Polycarp tells a story how he and John went into a bathhouse. They were traveling, and they went into a bathhouse to clean up. And he saw a guy named Marcus in there. Marcus was a heretic. He was a Gnostic. But you know, he was using the scriptures, only twisting them. And he was actually preaching, like many of them were preaching, and actually Irenaeus comes against what they were preaching. But they were preaching a female Holy Ghost. All right. In other words, for every attribute in God that's male, there's attributes that's female. So like the word psyche, which means silence, and there was just the different words that you have. Some are feminish in the gender of the language, and some are masculine. And so they say, well, see, the masculine ones, those are sons, and the feminine, you know. And what they try to do is preach a female Holy Ghost. So we had in this hour, people take things Brother Bram said, they twisted them all up, and they were preaching a female Holy Ghost. The bride is the female Holy Ghost, and Jesus is the groom. And so, you know, one young man was asked, well, then what does that make the bride? He said, I guess it makes us God. You see, when you take an understanding that's wrong, because you don't understand the Godhead, they would have, like one minister from, you know, thought he was the teacher, and he had three glasses set out. One was full of water. He said, all that was in the Father, he poured into the Son, and now the Father's gone, he puts that Father aside. All that was in the Son, he poured into the church, now he puts the Son aside. Now you've got God in the church. And so they're teaching that God is in the church. Brother Brown said, that's a Catholic doctrine. God is in his word. And if the word is in the church, then God's in the church by the word, but not God himself. So What they've done is by discarding that, it shows they have no clue that there's one God who is the Father of all and in all. So that one God, whose God life poured that God life into His Son, and now you have two with God life, the Father and the Son. Now, that life that was in the Son, and that's John 5:26, the life comes from the Father, and the Father gave it to the Son. Then you have that life that was in the Son at Calvary when He died, and the Holy Ghost came back upon the church. You have now the God life in the people as well. Doesn't make us God in any shape or form. God is an object of worship. And so when you hear people preaching the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride, to me it's a homosexual, or it's a, what's the feminine part of homosexuality? Lesbian. It's a lesbian spirit. It's a lesbian spirit. The bride, the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride. The bride should be talking about Him, Him, Him. Amen? The groom, the groom. It's not about us. Like Brother Brown said, I had no more to do with it than nothing. I was just a voice that He chose to use. And against my better judgment, because all I want to be is a trapper. Right? So it's about Him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what will it do? I'll draw men to Me. Not if you lift up the church, you lift up the pastor, you lift up this minister or this minister. If I be lifted up, if we lift God up where He deserves, He is the all in all. And that's why I'm so passionate about these things, because I see a bunch of the same thing that went through in the first church age. Remember, he said, Alpha must repeat an Omega. Must have another Ephesians. He said, what about Ephesians? It means drifted and relaxed and drifting. The people got away from what they originally thought to be right, and they started accepting other stuff. And that's what he's saying here. If you accept these guys, they come and they preach a totally different Jesus, and it brings a different spirit, and it brings a different gospel, then he said, why do you put up with it? We're not supposed to put up with it. You know, 2 John 9 says, you know, if they don't come and teach it, if they don't come and teach the doctrine of Christ, he said, don't even invite them into your house. That's pretty strong words, but it's from an apostle of God. Right? It's from God, because God wrote it. It's His Bible. But he said, even if I am unskilled in speaking, yet I am not untrained in knowledge, I know what I'm talking about. But we have made this evident to you in every way in all things. Now, let's continue to look at these false apostles, who Paul calls these super-duper apostles. And let's skip ahead to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, which the actual word transforming means masquerading themselves as the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, is masquerading as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, not God's ministers, his ministers are also transformed, masquerading as the ministers of righteousness, that's right wiseness, those with the right truth, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, if this hurts some of you listening to this, but if these ministers of Satan are masquerading as ministers of right wiseness, then there can only be one place where they are doing that, and that is right here in this message. Right among us, eating at the same spiritual food in due season as we are. And if you do not believe that, you are a very, very naive person. Naive. The Apostle Jude tells us in verse 4, for there are certain men who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if it's an only Lord, then there's only one Lord, right? And they're denying that there's only one Lord. Come close to home. Now, the fact that he tells us that you have crept in, or these men have crept in, it shows they came in stealthily, hoping they're not caught, and yet their purpose is deceitful, or they would not have crept in. So you say, okay, so where do they creep into? Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as, which means in the same way or the same manner as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that's pedophilia and all this other stuff, are set forth as an example, He says, there's your pattern right there. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Oh, not in our message, yes, I'm sorry, but in the denomination called the message, I know of at least a half a dozen men who have been pedophiles. I just had word from a brother in Florida the other day about a guy there in his 70s that was just hauled off by the police for pedophilia. Oh, don't tell me about these youth camps and stuff. What's their motive? To get the youth alone, away from their parents. Come on! I tell you, I get some words on that. But there's your pattern right there. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example. There's your pattern. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Whose flesh? Despise dominion. Those that are masters in the teaching, that word dominion means those who are masters in the teaching, they despise them. They despise the truth. Why? They don't want to hear it. And they speak evil of the dignities, and that word dignities is doxa. They speak evil of the doxa, which is the opinions and values and judgment of God. And Jude here tells us they speak evil of God's doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgment. In other words, they despise the doctrine of Christ. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Like I told you about the guys who were standing around. Eight of them were standing around calling the parousia Christ's false doctrine and everything else. And so the brother I know, he said, well, what is the parousia? Not a one of them knew what they're talking about. Not one of them even knew that it's the appearing before the coming, or that the word parousia simply means presence, that Jesus taught it, Paul taught it, Peter taught it, James taught it, John taught it. No, they thought it was just some strange doctrine that Lee Bell came up with. Well, Brother Branham said, if any of you ministers or laity have any questions concerning the doctrine, ask Lee Bell. So you'd think that he'd know. Or Brother Branham would not have put him forth as the only minister he put forth. He never put forth any of these other guys that went hunting and fishing. He didn't put them forth as grand examples of this message. He put forth one man, and he had that man write the Church Age book. All right? I'm not here to preach Lee Bell. I'm just telling you the truth. But these speak evil of things which they know not, calling the proofs of Christ false doctrine, when they don't even know that Jesus taught it, Paul, Peter, James. It is the apostles' doctrine. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, what was the way of Cain? What did Cain do that these are doing the same? I'll tell you, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. There you go. They deny presence. And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And they do so for money and greed, greedy reward, money, popularity, women, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In other words, like Korah, they speak evil against, like he spoke against, a vindicated prophet of God. Now, here is the key right here in verse 12. These are spots, blemishes, in your feasts of charity. In your feasts of charity. Not their own. Your feast of charity. In other words, the spiritual food in due season that's been given to us in this day. They're right here in this so-called umbrella called the message. When they feast with who? You. Or are you guys all off into a Baptist feasting? Are you off into Pentecostal feasting? No. You're feasting on the revealed word for the day. And so are they. So are they. They're sitting with you at the same table. Feasting on what? The spiritual food in due season. But they are feeding themselves without fear. Without fear. Which shows their careless attitude while feasting. We could take a whole sermon just on this verse alone, but to save time, we're going to move ahead. Now, the next few lines, Jude gives us some more symbols to think about. When he calls them clouds, they are without water. So what does a cloud represent? Witnesses. That is what the Apostle Paul calls them in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So when you see the word clouds in the scripture, it represents witnesses. When you see that cloud, it's witnesses. The angels came down. Who were in the angels? When we saw that cloud come down, Brother Brown said that there were seven angels that made up that cloud, and in each angel there were thousands of faces, and I've seen it under a large magnifying glass at Brother Vale's table. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of faces that made up each angel in the white wig. And why not? The Bible says the saints shall judge the earth. And what's that white wig stand for? Supreme Judge. Who's going to do the judging? We do, with the Word. We're in that cloud. Our faces are there. Brother Vale told, I believe it was Brother Hickey, said, I saw your face there. Then why would it be strange to see the faces of the saints in that cloud, which was the wig of the Supreme Judge? Brother William Caldwell, back in the late 60s, went down to Dr. McDonald down in Arizona there, who had the original pictures, and he gave a copy to Brother Caldwell, and he sent it to Brother Vale, and I remember seeing it under the magnifying glass because Brother Caldwell caught it first. He took a magnifying glass and was looking at those, and he said, wow, there's like hundreds and if not thousands of little heads in there. And you can even, with the poor pictures we've got, you can actually see them. I've seen them with just regular magnifying glass. But I saw them at Brother Vale's table. He said, look, Brian, look at this. And I looked at that, and you can see just hundreds, if not just in one little part of the cloud, you can see hundreds and hundreds of faces. It was beautiful. All right? And I remember seeing it under the magnifying glass that Brother Vale had, which was very powerful, and I talked at length with Brother Caldwell, who was a dear friend of mine before he passed over. So clouds are witnesses to what God has done in this Exodus, just like Dathan and Korah were also witnesses to the first Exodus as well, but that did not stop their unbelief from manifesting. And Jude gives us another symbol. He tells us clouds they are without water, and water represents the Holy Ghost. So these are witnesses, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. You see, remember last week when we went into, and I showed you now, if you just look at the white horse, you think immediately, it's white, it's virtuous, it's a power, a white virtuous power. But then when you look at the man on sitting on the horse, and he's got a bow but no arrows, he's a bluff. So the man that's controlling the church had no arrows, he was a bluff, all right? So you have to look at a combination of the symbols in order to know the nature of what God is trying to get across. So these are not just clouds, they're not just witnesses, but they're witnesses that don't have water. Witnesses that don't have the doctrine of Christ. All right? Water represents the Holy Ghost, and these clouds or witnesses do not have the Holy Ghost, but there is something else in water, in a cloud, that represents rain, which is a type of the doctrine which God says in Deuteronomy 32, chapter 1, verse 2, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth, my doctrine shall drop as a, what? Rain. Where does the doctrine come from? The clouds. Right? My speech shall distill as a dew, and as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass. And he tells us what happens to these witnesses without the Holy Ghost and without the doctrine of Christ. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. All right, now you all should know what winds mean. Wind represents the doctrines of man, not God's doctrine, which is represented by rain. Ephesians 4 and 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There you go. So notice then, we go back to what Jude says. Beautiful. Clouds, witnesses they are, without water, without the doctrine, carried about of other doctrines. Two souls, seven thunders, who you just name it. Pastors ordained to lead you through, the pastor's your husband, spiritually speaking. All these false doctrines, just, you know, the Holy Ghost is ordained to lead us, brother. Sons of God are led by what? The pastor? Or sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? Okay. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Okay. And Jude continues to use more symbols as he then describes these witnesses without the Holy Ghost and without the doctrine of Christ. He says, trees whose fruit wither. Anybody know what a tree represents? A person. without fruit, okay, a person without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Okay, now, men are likened to trees, as we see in Garden of Eden. The tree of life, was which was Christ, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we see men likened to trees, Psalm 101. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also, what's the leaf? It's something produced by the tree, right? The life produces it. His tree also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, but the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind, the man's doctrine, drives away. You see? Now in Mark 8:24, Jesus prayed for the blind man, and he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. All right, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Fruit is the efforts and works associated with the life that is in the tree. In this case, these trees' fruit withers, which means it is a corruptible fruit. Now remember, Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So a corruptible seed is a seed, but it's not God's seed, it's man's seed. All right, or it's not God's word, it's man's word, right? Now, Jesus told us, by their fruits you shall know them. And Brother Branham taught us from that very verse of Scripture that the fruit is their teaching. It is their doctrine, man's doctrine or God's doctrine for the hour. From anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham tells us, notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. And what is the fruit? Here it is. The word for the fruit for the season. That's what it is. Their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is. Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, or God's word for the season. So notice you go back and it says trees whose fruit withereth. Their teaching withereth. Why? Because it's old. It's out of date. It's from another season. You see? Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Okay? Now, and we know according to Psalm 101 that a righteous or rightly wise man is planted by the water, the word, which he drinks in the water, the Holy Ghost, and he shall be like a tree that's planted, settled. He's not going anywhere. He is not a wandering soul. He is planted. He just doesn't pop here, pop there, go to this church, go to that church. He's not satisfied with that. He finds the water and he stays there. By the rivers, this is plural, of waters that bring forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind, man's doctrine, driveth away. Now, Jude continues to show us more symbols. I just love Jude. This is just so packed. Full of symbols, and once you see the symbols here, you're going to see them in Revelation, you're going to see them in Matthew, you're going to see them all over the Bible. Notice then, he says, raging, in other words, discontented waves of the sea. What is sea? Remember Revelation 18? Peoples, nations, and tongues. All right. Waves of the sea foaming out their shape. Now, you know the word foaming. When somebody's mad, you know, they say they're foaming at the mouth. You know, because what? They're hydrophobia. They're shame. Okay. In other words, like the sea foaming up, all the filth and trash and exposing it. Then he says these are wandering stars. Now there's two symbols here. Wandering and stars. That's two more symbols. And we know what a star represents. Last week we showed you a star represents suns, but these are wandering stars. And Brother Branham told us that means that they are not content and are always wondering about this and wondering about that. That is what the word wander is to symbol is a symbol of, to wonder, which is a is when you wonder, it's your mind is wandering. That's what it is. You used to have guys, you know, they say they talk about the black holes and this and that. Who cares? Who cares? I had one man tell me one time. He said, you know, I did some calculations, and I said, you know how many pints of blood there's going to be at the Armageddon when you know the all the people are slain, and you know, average man has 5 pints of blood, and it was up to the horse's bridle, and the average horse is about 16 to 17 hands, so that would mean that it's a 20 some mile radius, so that would mean that you take the radius times the pints times, you know, blah, 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 times humans haven't. And so I've calculated it's this much. And I said, well, brother, it doesn't say if the horse is laying down dead or not. And he just, I mean, he just deflated. He just, right. All that work and everything else, who cares? Or to borrow a phrase, who gives a rip? Who cares about the tribulation and what's going to happen in it? I don't. It's not for me. I'm interested in the millennium. I'm interested in the New Jerusalem. I'm interested in just dying to Brian. My biggest problem I got is myself. Sometimes people let me know that too, but you know, that's, it's not for you to let me know. It's for me. Listen, let the Holy Ghost be my judge. Okay. Anyway, so, but wandering stars over in the book of Jonah, foaming out their shame. And we don't want to be wandering stars. Wonder if this is right. Wonder if that is right. Wonder if this will happen. Wonder if how it could be done. Don't wonder. Stay like those stars of the heaven as a real soldier at his post of duty. Stand there believing life and death. All right. And of course, he closes off with the words, in whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, you know, that's using the same metaphor twice. Blackness of darkness forever. And I think that does not take a lot of spiritual insight to understand. Darkness is a lack of light. And we know that the Bible teaches the day is coming when gross darkness shall cover the earth. And we know also that there are children of darkness as well as children of light, etc. And we could also take an entire sermon on this as well. Now, we've seen what Jude said of the end time when these witnesses without the Holy Ghost would creep into our love feast where we are feasting on the spiritual food in due season. But the Apostle Peter had some more things to say about that as well. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But as there were, in other words, as there were in the Alpha, false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers. False prophets back here, false teachers up here. Propagators of spurious false doctrines. That's what the word false teacher means. Propagators of spurious false doctrines among you, whom privately shall bring in damnable heresies, privately, bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, so we see also the Apostle Peter warns us that those, that just as there were in his day false prophets, so shall there be also false teachers, who will bring in damnable heresies, false teachings, even denying or saying no to the Lord that bought them. These are your Trinitarians, these are your oneness, who deny the one that bought them. They deny the Son of God, who was the purchase price of his own blood, and they say he does not exist. You know, one preacher had the audacity to say that after Jesus was ascended in heaven, that he said, you know, just like any sacrifice, when it was totally consumed, he said he went back to gases. And I said, okay, so the one who's a mediator between God and man, the man Jesus, he's now a gas bag, and so we got a gas bag for a mediator? I see. This is the insanity that has been in preachers in this message, that he had the audacity to say Jesus is no longer existing, that he is a gas bag. He went back to the gases, and so it's all God. And no understanding of Father and Son, no understanding of sons, no understanding this message. See, they're not in the message, but they crept into the message. You people have to understand that. They crept into the message. They crept. They came in stealthily, and they bring their little twists stealthily. You know, it's not the straight pitch that you strike out with. It's the curveball that hits you every time. All right? They deny the Son of God, who was the purchase price of his own blood, and say he doesn't exist, saying he is not the mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. They deny he was a man, and they try to make him God and God alone. And many, he says, most or mostly, that word many actually means most or mostly. In other words, the majority shall follow their pernicious ways. The majority! Harmful. They're pernicious ways. They're harmful ways. Detrimental ways. They're deleterious ways. They're destructive and damaging and noxious and malicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. People look upon the message. They say, my goodness, you've got all kinds of crackpots. They got all kinds of stupid denominations. They're teaching now that we're in the millennium. They're teaching that that we're waiting for the third coming. The second coming has already taken place. They've got all these just absolutely fanatical things. And people looking in, they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. But see, that's why I'm telling you, these people are not the message. They're not message people. They don't believe the message that there's one God and He had a Son and that God is here, the appearing before the coming. That's the message. They don't believe it. In other words, these men being in the majority, yet speaking such destructive and malicious false doctrine that others will look up the message, they'll look upon the message and think it is a bunch of nutcases. So why do they preach such heresy? He tells us in the next verse. You know, I've often said, I've known a lot of Catholic people in my life, and you know, the biggest fault I can find is that they drink. Some will smoke, but most don't, but they'll drink. But, you know, they're great family people, and they watch out for their kids. They teach them right. They educate them and everything else. But, you know, they're without the Holy Ghost. And I look at people in this message in general. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking about what I see out there. I see a bunch of nutcases. They're very religious, and, you know, they look upon everybody like dirt, and they think that they are God's only people. And they look at everybody who doesn't agree with their doctrines or their creeds as they're a bunch of misfits and they're all going to hell. And so they walk around judgmental all the time. And that's what I see. So when you hear me hitting out about these things, I'm not against message people. I'm not against people who believe in the appearing before the coming. I'm not against people who believe that Brother Branham was a vessel God used. But it's all about God. I'm not against those people. And I'm not even against these other people. I just wish they would stay away and not creep in. I wish they'd just stay out and start their own denomination someplace. You know? He says, but through covetousness. There you go. This is your key for why they creep in. And through covetousness, in other words, they have one motive, money, money, and money. And with that notice, and shall they with feigned words, that word feigned means pretentious, and made up words, it says they shall make merchandise of who? Of you. Of you. How many times? I could ask the question, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. We've all been made merchandise of, one time or other, by false preachers. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So they think they're building themselves a kingdom on earth, but in reality they are robbing the heritage of the Lord. I'll never forget, Brother Vail was asked by a certain preacher, called Brother Vail up, said him and three other preachers had gotten together, and this is like 1960-something, right after Brother Branham's gone. They said, well, you know, Brother Lee, we got together, and we decided that I'm going to have the Southwest, the brother so-and-so is going to have the West, brother so-and-so is going to have, you know, New Zealand and Australia and this and that. And we decided, Brother Vail, you can have the East. And Brother Vail, you know what Brother Vail said to him? He said, go to hell. He said, go to hell. Who are you to rob God's heritage? To put yourselves over God's heritage? That's why they don't like him. He told them like it was. Well, what did Peter say? Peter told Simon the sorcerer, who wanted the money. He wanted the Holy Ghost for one reason, so he could make money. Peter said, go to hell. It's not an unscriptural thing to say, brother, sister. It's very scriptural. Peter said it. Good grief. People get so holy, holy, holy. They're not holy. They're silly, silly, silly is what they are. So they think they're building themselves a kingdom on earth, but in reality they're robbing the heritage of the Lord. And so they will reap what they have sowed, taking from others, because they've taken for others, they will have taken from them. Just like all these so-called elites in the world, you know, you will have nothing, but you'll be happy. And we're going to have it all because, you know, you people are too stupid to know how to run your own life. So we're going to tell you what clothes you can wear, what vaccines to take. Oh, I shouldn't use the word vaccine because I'm going to get struck, even though I'm not talking about, you know, that stuff. But, you know, we'll tell you what to do for your health and how to eat, and we'll tell you how to live and everything else. But we got it all. You know what? Isn't that what Satan said to Jesus? If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you, look at all these kingdoms and I'll give them to you. And Jesus, what did he say? Go back to hell, Satan. That's what he told him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, worship the Lord and him alone. Well, now, let's look at what Jesus says of the end time as well. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, so we know sheep represent Christians. We are the sheep of his pasture. But these are not actually sheep, but are actually wolves which devour sheep. Yet they will pretend to look like sheep outwardly. But when you examine their predatory nature, you will see that they are actually wolves, which are the enemy of sheep. I'll never forget when George Bush Jr. was running for office and he talked about how he had been a drunk, but God saved him and he's been born again and he don't drink no more, and what a bunch of lies. And everybody said, oh, he's talking about Jesus. Oh, we got to vote for him. Good grief. You know, smarten up, people. These are serpent seed. The serpent didn't deny that God existed. He was a worshiper of God. But he said, oh, you don't have to, you know, Jesus, God didn't mean it that way. He meant it this way. We got to smarten up if we're going to make it, brother, sister. Okay, so we're the sheep. You know, we're sheep represents Christians, okay? We are the sheep of his pasture. But these are not actually sheep, but are actually wolves which devour sheep. Yet they will pretend to look like sheep outwardly, but when you examine their predatory nature, you will see that they are actually wolves, which are the enemy of sheep. They're your enemy. Because wolves live off the sheep and devour the sheep. Sheep do not devour sheep. They have a yielding nature, not an aggressive nature. Sheep are not leaders. But when we speak of wolves, we speak of leaders of the pack. Right? Why would they call them leaders of the pack? Because they're talking about wolves. Wolves run in packs. The only animals that do. Others are herds. Right? Except for cats. I don't know about them. I don't know how you... Anyway, so these wolves will be leaders among the sheep. Most likely self-professed leaders. But nevertheless, leading the sheep and shearing them for their own benefit. And Jesus tells us to discern for ourselves. He says, you shall know them by what? Their fruits. By their teaching. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs off of thistles? Figs off of thistles? And remember, we just read where William Branham read this scripture, and he told us the fruit is the teaching of the season, or the teaching of man. And so we saw that a tree symbolizes men. Then Jesus says, even so, every good tree, every good man, every righteous man, bringeth forth good fruit, good teaching. But a corrupt tree, an ungodly or unrighteous man, bringeth forth evil or corrupt out of season fruit. A good tree, a righteous man, cannot bring forth evil fruit. A righteous man cannot bring forth corrupt or out of season doctrine. Neither can a corrupt tree, an unrighteous man, bring forth good fruit, bring forth righteous word for the season. Every tree, every man that bringeth not forth good fruit, fruit for the season, is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he that hears, recognizes, and acts upon the word of God. Notice here, I've highlighted for you, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And iniquity is to know to do right, and you will not do it. And again, there's just one thing came to me here. It says, and in thy name, how many times have you heard people pray? And Father, we pray in your name. And they won't even say the name. We pray in your name. We come to you in your name. Okay, I want to hear the name. Standing in a, when I was back teaching, I was coaching a sport and had to go to the principal's office to get a key so we could open up the facilities. And I heard some young girl, she cussed. She used the Lord's name in vain. And the assistant principal of the high school there, she goes, "Don't you use her name like that?" Yeah, her name. You see that same spirit that was in Irenaeus, knocked off, you know, about the first church age? Same spirit being taught in the message right at that time. Right in that time, they were starting to preach female Holy Ghost. I thought, her name? Her name? It's bizarre that there's one name given above all names, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, there you go, I will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. That's Revelation. We all know that. Rock is Revelation. And the rain, which is the doctrine of God, it descended. And the floods came, and the winds blew, two more symbols, the other man's doctrine, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Revelation, okay. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now remember, you got the wise man and the foolish man. Wise virgin, foolish virgin, right? Wise with the Holy Ghost, foolish without the Holy Ghost. Wise with understanding, foolish with no understanding. And the rain descended. Again, the doctrine of God came. And the floods came. We're going to find out what that word floods means. And the winds blew, and the doctrines of man, that's the doctrine of man, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, notice a flood came. The wind, first of all, the rains came and then the floods. The flood represents the waters of separation, because that's what the doctrine will always do. The very first time God spoke, he said, "Let there be light," and God divided the light from darkness. Second time God spoke, he said, let the water from above be divided from the waters from below. Division again. God is a divider. He's a separator. He is not a aggregator. All right. The third time God spoke, three is a witness. He said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. How does that do it? Because if it's going to multiply, it does it by how? It has to divide first. There has to be a division. There has to be separation. And if you have a church or a ministry that claims to believe this message, if there isn't a division, if there isn't separation, if there isn't that constant separating righteousness from unrighteousness, it's not of God. And it's not the Word of God going forth, because the Word of God always brings separation. Always. Right to the very end, it will bring separation until we are finally separated out of here. All right. Now, from the land of the dove, Brother Branham said, and Noah, after the flood was over and the judgment had been brought to the earth and there was peace, the dove come back representing peace, peace with the dove leaf in his mouth. We could spend much time studying on the dove. So Brother Branham again tells us the dove represents peace. But notice we're looking at the waters of separation, because in Noah's day, it separated Noah from everybody else. All right. The washing of water by the word, it brought judgment, and the word brings judgment. We're supposed to come to church to judge ourselves, lest we end up in the great judgment and be judged. Right? The dove is a bird that can. He could fly like the crow or the scavenger, but he can't eat the diet of the scavenger because his makeup is different. He has no gall. The dove doesn't have a gall. So he cannot digest the things that the scavenger bird would eat. He only can eat the clean and the pure things. Again, from how it types the Christian that packs a dove in his heart, he just can't stand the foul things of the world. See, he hasn't any gall, no bitterness about him. He's humble, a humility. What's any sweeter than the coo of a dove? But judgment is also represented in the blood of Jesus Christ, the crimson flow of blood. Now, God's provided approach to fellowship, Brother Brown said, red through red makes white. You look through something red at something red, it makes it white. How many remember when I used the I took three Mylar pieces of red plastic that was you could see through it, and I held a red book that was it was the Hyslop's Two Babylons, and the book itself was red, and all the letters were white. But when you looked through the red, you could only see white. You couldn't even see the letters anymore because the whole book was light. See, the Bible says, you know, though your sins be as crimson, they be as white as snow. Though they be as scarlet, they be as white as wool. And if you want to see that sometime, come to my office. I got them in there. I can take them out and show you, you know, give you that example. But that will help you to understand how God looks through the blood of His Son. He don't see your flaws. He only sees the perfect blood of His Son. He sees you as white. Okay, amen. All right, now, from God's provided place that red through red makes white, you look through something red at something red, it makes it white, a symbol that when God looks through the red blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus, at our red scarlet sins, we become white as snow. Wash me in the blood and I'll be white as snow. No other thing could you ever have. I appreciate the old Salvation Army song, "O precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's the fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. So let's go back and look at that flood. Okay. He says that the foolish man that built his house, when the floods came, see, the doctrine comes, the rain comes first, and then the flood. Because if you walk in the light, what do you have? The blood, which is the flood. And it just totally annihilates your sin, takes it right back to the beginning. So we sing that song, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." All right. Okay. "No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. The red through red and then the hyssop. I found searching to see what hyssop was." Hyssop is just a common weed found in Egypt. And also it's found in Palestine. And sometimes it grows out of the walls where the dirt, and it's just a common ordinary weed with a little blade on it, like a little white flower. And hyssop was always used to sprinkle the blood. In the days of the Passover, Moses commanded to take hyssop and dip it in the blood and splash it upon the doorposts and on the lintels and applying of the blood. And hyssop, being just a common weed in this great water of separation, represents common faith. The believer coming must not be some kind of a fellow that's so highly educated till he knows all, more than Webster does, and he doesn't have to be any great theologian. He just has to use common faith to hyssop and pick it up anywhere, and it was all mixed together and burned. And then it was kept outside in the courts at the unclean before he could come in into the fellowship. And remember, God always did and never will any other place but meet man under the blood. That's the only place you have fellowship with God, is under the blood. And then he says, "I see a crimson stream of blood. It's flown from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me." As Brother Bell used to say, quoting the Old Testament, you know, waters to the calves, waters to the thighs, waters to carry you over. You know, as the waters are coming up, you might be able to walk through the waters up to the knee. Might even be able to walk up to the thighs. But once it hits the midsection of your body, you're swept away with it. And we're being swept up into by His Word. The washing of water by the Word is sweeping us away, brother, sister. Now, back to Brother Ram's sermon, Satan's Eden. And we'll pick up at paragraph 18. "People ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping God. And as we're warned by prophecy in 2 Thessalonians," let's just read that, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Let's just get it a moment, if I can, right away. I'd like to read just and I believe in 2 Thessalonians. I got the scripture here, and now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord, that word is parousia of the Lord, and by our gathering together unto Him. So at the time of the parousia, there's going to be a great gathering, which is this shout. And we'll just go to the Bible and read for ourselves. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him." And so Brother Branham is going to tell us here what the Apostle Paul is talking about that will take place during the time of the parousia of Christ. And remember, this same apostle said in Galatians 1:6-9, "If you preach any other gospel than what we have preached, you are cursed." Now he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, when he says that you are called by the grace of Christ into that called you into the grace of Christ, you're removed unto another gospel. That word is heteros. In other words, it's a gospel that's kind of a mixture. It's a different. Heteros means, you know, heterosexual. That means you're two different, right? So it's a different. But then he says, which is not another, which is, that word is allos, which is not a totally different gospel, but there'd be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So when you've got, see, if it wasn't totally another, in other words, he's saying it's not totally a different message. In other words, it's not, you know, like, you know, the way, okay, the way they claim to have, you know, they got the message the way, all right? It's not that. It's not another one. It's the same message, only it's so admixture, so perverted. It's been so watered down and so sliced up. He says, I'm warning about that. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have already preached unto you, let him be cursed. Paul said, I am cursed if I preach anything different. William Branham would be cursed if he preached anything different from Paul. And to some people, that's blasphemy to say that. Well, they can take their blasphemy and you know, it's not, because William Branham said, I'm only preaching what Paul preached. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be cursed. Well, up in verse 8, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other thing. So I don't care if the angel of the Lord came down and preached a different, you're not supposed to listen to it. All right? And yet, 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul is preaching concerning the parousia of Jesus Christ, and we got so-called message ministers and followers that say that is false doctrine. Who's cursed then, brothers? Paul, who preach it? Or you, who say it's false? The ones preaching what Paul preached are the ones who call it false doctrine. Now let's get back to see what William Branham says and see the coming of the Lord and the gathering to Him, as God will gather His people to Him in the last day, the gathering of the people to the Lord, not to the church, to the Lord, gathering together unto Him. And how can you gather to Him, unto Him, if He's not here? Tell me that. How are you going to do it? That you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first. And that's exactly what we see. They came out because of the shout, and they fell away. And the man of sin, he says, man of sin, now watch. Watch what he is now. Man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That was Judas, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And how many preachers do you know that have done the same thing? They've become the mediator between God and man. Got to go through the preacher. Make sure you're saved. Got to go through the preacher. Make sure that you're cleansed. Got to go to the priest to get indulgences, you know. Bless me, Father, I have sinned. My last confession was blah, blah, blah. I've been in churches, brother, sister, where they do that. Remember one time the pastor said to me, my wife said, you know, everybody in church is getting sick. I think it's because, you know, you're believing some of this stuff. And so I think, you know, you're an Aiken's wedge. So, brother, you know, I want you to come before the church and just, you know, apologize to them and tell them, you know, that. And I called Brother Bell and said, you know, this is what the guy wants me to do. And Brother Bell said, well, I'll be standing with you. So I went to the pulpit and I said, you know, I was asked by the pastor to, you're all sick. I said, you're all sick. I said, my wife and I, we're not sick. But you're all sick. And I said, the pastor told me that, you know, there's got to be Aiken's wedge in the church. And so he thinks that maybe I'm it. He said, well, you know, I'm not sick. My wife's not sick. And, you know, the Lord said that, you know, if you guard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayer. I say, here's my prayer. That was it. And the pastor, he just sank down in his chair, got smaller and smaller and smaller. I didn't care because my wife and I left after that. We didn't come back to that nonsense. Bunch of nonsense. But they use the pressure, you know. So, Brother Brown says, that deceitfulness of the church today. See, the son of perdition, the devil, the son of perdition, the devil. Then people worshiping Satan in this day, thinking they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping him through what? A creed. A man-made denomination, a creed that's brought the people right down to the greatest deception that the world has ever known. No matter how much the Word of God promised in this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it. They won't believe it. Then why? We wonder why. Why doesn't it? Why won't they believe it when God said that He would do a certain thing and He does it, and still they turn back from it, turn away from it? Just as Eve knew that what God had said God would do, but she turned her back on it to listen to what He had to say. Just remember, in other ages, it's always been the same thing. In every age, it's always been that Satan tried to pervert the Word to them, making them see some other age. From why I'm against organized religion, he says, them denominations added dogma. And to do this, to add dogma, the only way that any church, the only way that any denomination can ever get away from the Word of God is to add dogma instead of the sacred Scripture, is to try to make your traditions or your doctrine of your church, though it be contrary to the Scripture. Then how can you condemn the Catholic Church when you're doing the same thing they did? Do you understand? All right. When now, just think, the Scripture can't fail. Dogma is a lie to begin with. And when you accept a denomination, you've already got a dogma because it's something that's been added. It is not in the Scripture. It is not in the Scripture. Therefore, no such a thing as organization. Jesus never said, I commission you to go into the world and make organization. And call yourself a worldwide organization, right? Isn't that what they call it? What's WMO? World Missionary Organization. See, organization. You know, when we chose our website, I chose a .com and a .net. My first one was a .net because cast the net. You look at all these other churches. It's soandso.org. So you're an organization. You're claiming it right there. I'm not an organization. This church is not an organization. We're a .net. We've cast the net. All right? Now, we're doing what's supposed to be done. He says, I commission you to go into the world and make organization. Whew. No, sir, no such a thing. To do this is to reject the sacred Scriptures. If any of them are listening to this sermon right now, change your name. Bram.org, change it. WMO, change it. God hates organization. When this was done, it was changed from church by birth to church by dogma or creed. Not church, let me apologize, lodge. You're born into the church, but you join a lodge. It isn't Baptist church, Methodist church, Pentecostal church. It's Baptist lodge, Pentecostal lodge, Methodist lodge. And let me just say, Methodist. But it's, yeah, message too, lodge. All right. You can't join church. There's no such a thing. You're born into it. Nicodemus was told that. So you see where you're at. Oh my, that's why I'm against it. Not against the people in it, the system that I'm against, because they can't. One of them elders or something another. One of them churches preach something that's in the Bible that's contrary to that doctrine, that charter that they have in that church. He's excommunicated right like that. That's why I want to pray for Charlie. Brother Charlie. Because he preaches something that's not in their organization. I just think he needs to get out myself. You know, I mean, you can only stay so long. You're not going to be able to take everybody with you. So just cut your losses and do it. But yes, there are some of them so nasty that they won't even let a revival come to another church unless it be one of their own men. Yeah, like I had a group in Africa that, you know, this one location, there's like two or three ministers. They said, well, you know, we want you to mentor us and this and that. And I brought the doctrine to their country. And so then a few years later, we went in 2007. They were with me in that trip. And that's when the Holy Spirit appeared, those three rainbows and stuff. And then they wanted me to come back to that city 2 years later. They said, listen, we have so many people, we can fill a 30,000 soccer stadium, if you come. So I started to make arrangements. And wouldn't you know, because I was making arrangements directly with that pastor there. These pastors over here, they boycotted me. They wouldn't come to the meeting. Not only would they come to the meeting, they wrote me nasty letters. Well, you have no right to go to there. You know, you have to come through us. I said, brothers, I said, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I said, you got an organizational spirit. Right then, I just cut them off right then. I had nothing more to do with it. You know? Come to us. Come to you. Who are you? Somebody one time was going to give a preacher right here in this country, a little old preacher standing down here on the street, crying and begging for repentance and saying, come receive Christ, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and things like that. And someone out of a Pentecostal organization come up and give a man a dollar in his hand and had to go repent because he committed adultery against his church. Yeah, well, listen, you hear the same stories. Talk about Catholic. That's right. And you know where I'm talking about, too. Or this church does, anyway. All right. From God's power to transform. He said, I'm so glad that God is mindful of us again, that He can still move upon the face of the condition He promised He would do it and call a little flock, which would be His bride. Notice here again now, how perfect these church types or these Edens, God through a seed of His Word, and there is only one thing that can quicken the Word, and that is the Spirit. And it is the life giver to the Word, and when the life in the Word meets the life of the Spirit, it produces whatever the seed is. Now, notice what happens. In the Garden of Eden was God's economy of innocence. And that was one of the dispensations. The first dispensation was innocence. The people knew no sin. They didn't know anything about sin. Both Adam and Eve were naked, but they were hid from their nakedness by a spirit veil over the face. They never knew that they were naked at all because they were hid. For God's veil in their own minds, they didn't know what right and wrong was, and them both standing there naked showed that the tree had not yet come to them, see, that they were naked. The pair was naked and knew it not. Now, if you'll turn, if you wish to, or write it down, Revelation, the third chapter, the Holy Spirit predicting this last age, the Laodicean Pentecostal church age, in the last days said, thou art naked and blind and know it not. There is God's seed under innocence, not knowing at all they were naked, under a veil of Holy Spirit, veiling them from sin. And now in the last church age, we find here that they're naked again and don't know it. But it's not the Holy Spirit veil. It's the veil that Satan slipped over Eve back there. A veil of lust, the lust veil. They are so filthy till they don't know that they are naked, or are women on the street with shorts on, a sexy dress. Someone sent me a piece in the paper the other day of this new dress that they're going to wear. I think 14 inches from the hips or something like that. And I wonder if our women folks does realize that that is a lust veil. Now you would say, well, I can prove it. I can prove before God that I'm innocent of adultery to my husband. But still at the judgment, you're going to be called an adulteress. The Bible says so. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Blind, naked, and don't even know it. Not them poor little women out there. There is nothing I got against them. But it's that devil, or it's that evil. And the system of the church seems to fail to recognize it or stand against it. Let them bob off their hair, wear makeup and shorts and things under the name of Christianity. What a horrible thing it is. See, they are naked again in Satan's Eden and knows it not. They don't even know it. I believe I see, perhaps looking across here at the swimming pool, that women out there now, and if that woman only realized what she is doing, but she doesn't know it. She is naked. Her body is sacred. She strips off her clothes that God clothed her with. With skin for this generation, she constantly cuts it off. She's naked under the word of civilization, higher education, better civilization, higher ethics. Now let me be sure that this soaks in. It's all of the devil and will be destroyed at the coming of the Lord Jesus. It'll be destroyed, every bit of it. There won't be one thing left. And oh friends across the nation, as you are listening to me here in Phoenix, think of those things. You are here subject to them now. Jesus said they would deceive the elected if possible. Well, who is the they? It's the ministers. Now this evening, in continuing with this thought on Satan as a preacher, actually next Sunday, as Satan is the minister of light, what I want to do is take the breastplate of Aaron, the breastplate of Lucifer. I want to go through all the attributes and characteristics of it and show you exactly, because it ties right down to this day. All right, In other words, the beast from the beginning, the beast at the end, we see it all the way through. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, and we're submissive to you and your word only. And Father, we're not submissive to a church, not this church or any church. We're submissive to the Holy Spirit because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And when it says sons of God, it talks of the daughters of God as well. The sons and daughters of God are led by your Spirit and your truth. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, if without the truth, we have nothing. Because Satan shows a false spirit, and people think it's the right spirit. He shows them a lustful spirit, and they think it's the Holy Spirit. And it's an unholy spirit. So help us, Father, to die to ourselves, that Christ might live in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I enjoyed that. I like seeing all those different symbols and how they... And look, it brings it right down to it's today. I mean, you can see it there everywhere. So, anyway, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Now, let's turn the order of service to the communion. And if the brothers would go forth and bring the elements at this time. I'm going to close down this tape and the service here. And then we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13.